Welcome to PBIS Journey to Genius. Are you in the process of implementing PBIS? Are you wondering where to start? You are in the right place. We are here to support you. Stay tuned.
Hey, welcome everybody. My name is Diane Farrell and I'm here with my good friend,
Diane Ruff.
Together, Diane and I, the Dianes, have been in education for many, many years. And over the past 10 to 14 years, we've put together a PBIS system in our school that has gotten a lot of awards and recognition. And now we're starting a podcast. We've put this podcast together to share current issues in behavior management today and how PBIS can help with those ongoing struggles. So we're sharing this journey with you through this weekly podcast entitled PBIS, Our Journey to Genius.
So last time we had Christine Hunt with us, who talked a lot about the acknowledgement system at the primary level. And today we want to welcome Carol Myroff, who's going to talk to us about the acknowledgement system at the upper grade levels. So Carol has been with us for quite a few years. So Carol, welcome. And do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I subbed for a little bit and then I taught first and second grade for 18 years. So I was with the little ones for 18 years. And then now it's my ninth year at fourth grade in the upper grades.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So I've kind of taught a lot of different grade levels.
Yes. And by teaching the little ones, doesn't that give you like a really good foundation?
Oh, it does.
To understand.
Yes. You know where they've come from.
Yes.
And then where you're going.
That's awesome.
We always ask all our guests because we want to know why they chose education, because in this world today, some people go, I would never be able to do that. So why did you start all those years ago, Carol? Why did you start education?
I wanted to be the teacher that I needed when I was in school.
That's awesome.
You know, I maybe didn't always have the best home life myself, and I just wanted to be the light in a maybe sometimes a dark world or a dark situation. I wanted to like build relationships for a lifetime with kids, and I wanted to make an impact on their life in a positive way.
And you've certainly done that. We've both worked with Carol over the years. Absolutely.
And so when did you decide to do that? Like, because you didn't go into education right out of high school.
I did actually go into education right away.
Okay.
And then when I graduated, there were not a lot of jobs available. So then I went into nursing.
Okay.
And I realized when I went to nursing school that I was actually holding tutoring sessions at the Altman Library. And for all the students that I never lost that love of teaching and working with people and the relationship piece.
So that's how you really knew.
And I knew. And I just love kids. So it's a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, that's great. Because I knew that you were in nursing for a little while.
Yeah,
and you were still teaching.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was
tutoring.
Yes, I was.
Tutoring.
I was teaching while I went to nursing school.
Yeah. So an aha moment you know, with all of the kids that you've had, like that aha moment that just you think
about.
And
there are so many. We had discussed this in first grade, you know, when they learned how to read. That was an aha moment, just gave you goosebumps. In the upper grades, you know, you work and you work on a hard skill and that light bulb finally turns on when they can write that essay that took months to teach them all the parts of that. That light bulb turns on as an aha moment. But for me, I'd say the biggest aha moment is when a student contacts you after 25 years that you made an impact on their life and you haven't heard from them in 25 years and they reach out to you and say, hey, you got me through.
Wow.
You know, and then it hits you. That's why I do what I do.
Yeah.
That's why we all go into education, to make a difference.
That is just,
It is. And that is a special thing that you've had, Carol. You've had someone contact you and tell you that, you know, maybe you don't remember me, but 25 years ago, and I remember you. And if anybody can have that experience, that truly makes a difference.
We have such a ripple effect on people, and sometimes
that we don't even know.
Realize it.
Right.
And then we find out that, you know, maybe we were a light for them.
Right.
In a dark situation.
And, you know, in other podcasts, we've talked a lot about building relationships.
It's all about the relationships, everything.
And then look, 25 years later, That relationship everything. That you built with that yes. student, she was probably what, maybe in second grade or
she whatever. Was in second grade.
Okay.
Yeah. She was seven.
Yeah.
So now she'd be in her early 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really precious.
That
Thank
is,
you.
That is awesome. Well, Carol is a special guest too, because she's one of our PBIS coaches. So we have a coach at every grade level. We have talked about that in our previous podcast to manage this system. We have a coach at every grade level and then someone that kind of oversees and helps those coaches. So Carol is the coach at the fourth grade level. So she has bought in to PBIS and does a great job with it. So we talked with our first grade teacher last podcast, and we were talking about her acknowledgement system and how she does her 10-day rewards and what that looks like in her class. So we're going to let Carol explain that at the fourth grade. So how often do you meet with the kids? What's rewards that you offer? You know, things like that. Just tell us about your reward system.
So at the fourth grade level, relationship is key. So verbal praise is huge for fourth graders. They will do anything and light up for you like a Christmas tree to get that verbal praise. So throughout the day, you're always giving them that verbal praise. You know, that's key. That's paramount, that relationship piece. And then at the end, you know, at fourth grade level, it does look a little different. They come to us already knowing we all speak the same language. We don't give as many, you know, like the negative consequences as much because they already come to us. We don't need to. So we do have a 10-day reward, the sticker days. If they are orange or green, they do get stickers. And then they get to choose, you know, whichever reward
some of their choices
they want.
In your
so for us, you know, fourth graders love choice. Mm-hmm. They love to choose and they like to help make the rewards.
Well, I think that's really important.
Because the upper grades are more independent. So they can sit down and with them generate the list of rewards. Hey, what would you like the rewards to look like?
Yes.
That's huge for them. And so it gives them ownership and they'll work really hard for that. And so, you know, we have multiple things that they can choose. They love the choice of it. They can go shoeless.
That's such a big thing to not wear your shoes.
I know. It's yeah, like, it I don't
is.
Know.
It is. And of course, you know, before we went to the sticker and the PBS sticker program, I had always done money, behavior bucks in my room. Fourth graders love money. So what I did was I kind of married the two. And so we still do. They can still earn money in my room. And every twice a month, I do have a little auction where they can spend their money.
Well, that's powerful because you're teaching money skills.
They love the money skills. And so, and they love those wallets and they love to count their money. And so they can earn $20 behavior bucks, you know, is one of their rewards for their 10-day sticker. So I do marry the two. And, you know, and then I did ask them, I said, hey, boys and girls, you know, if we do have a bad day and, you know, we do end up maybe with a red stamp and, you know, should we maybe pay, you know, a fine? And I said, we don't have to, only if the class votes. And so some years they do and some they don't, you know, it's whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they choose that they could wear a hat all day in the classroom, wear slippers in the classroom, chew gum in the classroom. By fourth grade, they're a little more, you know, mm-hmm. responsible with the gum than the younger grades maybe.
Which again, I think is fine.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a responsibility. Yeah, they've chosen it. They have, you know,
they
have to
do
it.
They love that.
Right.
Their favorite is eat lunch with a friend. You know, friendships are so important for fourth graders. And they literally almost always pick that one a lot. You know, rainbow pencil, candy treat from Mr. Owl. But eating with a friend is huge. And so they will wait because I can only do three a day, but they'll wait, you know, their turn. But that's their favorite one at fourth grade level. They're extremely social and they just want to be with each other and have time to just mingle with their friends from other classrooms.
And I want to bring attention to that because one of the things that was talked about in one of our other podcasts is that people say, well, I don't have enough money for PBIS. PBIS is too expensive. I have to buy all these trinkets and all these rewards, but you don't.
You don't.
And what Mrs. Myroff Carol was just showing you is that, you know, only one or two of those rewards rewards had any money attached to it.
Right.
And probably not ones the kids pick more often.
Right.
Because it's the experiences, right, the praise, that's it what is. Makes them want that attention and that recognition. And you're just seeing
yeah.
it right
and
there.
And so really deep down, whatever child wants is your recognition. They want accepted by the teacher and by their peers. So if you'd really generate that classroom family atmosphere, then they will get there.
Yes.
You know, as long as they have that inclusiveness, then it's there. And it's so funny because sometimes, you know, with these behavior bucks, you know, I do have an auction. And so a lot of my kids, you know, will problem solve, you know, and some wind up bringing a few things in for the auction. Hey, Mrs. Myroff, we cleaned out this. Can we maybe auction? I'm like, oh, thank you so very much.
Yeah.
You know, they love to give and receive. Right. So it works.
So yeah. Another part of, you know, because you had said, you know, they like praise.
They do.
And really what you're doing is really naming the behavior that you like to see.
Yes.
And you especially do that yes. with the academics.
Yes.
So, which is important too, because
yes.
behavior and academics go together.
Yes, they do.
So with the academics, you have the students do some journaling.
Yes.
And you take the time to respond.
Yes.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So yes, we do a program called 40 Book Challenge where they read 40 books a year, one book a week of their choice. It's a read to self, and then they journal about it. And then I always read it with them standing beside me. And then I respond and write back to them. It's very time consuming for me, but it's so worth it. And it was so funny because I had a couple parents maybe come in one time to help me. And one little girl wrote at the bottom of hers, please only Mrs. Myroff read this. She was writing it to me and she didn't want anybody else, you know, because that relationship piece was so important to her.
Yes.
And so when I praise them, I don't say things like, oh, you're so smart. I say things specific like, oh, you worked so hard at this. I'm so happy that you did this.
Right.
You know, whatever level they're at, to take them to the next level. And so trying to stay away from academics, more into behavior, like, oh, thank you for working so hard on this. By being responsible.
Yes. And tying it back
yeah,
to
thank
those.
You for, yeah.
And tying it back yeah. to the actual action.
It is.
Because if you just say, mm-hmm. oh, you're so smart. Oh, you're so good.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about this before. They don't really know
what
behavior
means.
You're asking them to repeat. But if you say a specific thing that you notice,
right.
then right,
right.
away, they're like, oh, this is what
right.
she
this
noticed.
What I need to be.
This is what I need to repeat.
Right.
So when you right. do your behavior conference with them, because you're talking about relationship piece, which is mm-hmm. so important. How often so you meet with them to go over their 10-day charts, their 10-day
yes.
rewards.
Yes.
How often do you meet with each student?
At the fourth grade level, we meet twice a month. So
okay.
every other week on a Friday. So we don't meet as much as the younger grades. They keep that same behavior goal longer. And when we do meet, sometimes they'll decide to continue with that goal even longer.
So each child has a behavior goal.
Each child has a behavior goal, and it's taped to their sticker chart so that when they put their stickers on, they can see and be reminded of their goal that they're shooting for. And it's usually a behavior goal. Now, if it is an academic goal that we're struggling with, maybe they're not turning their journal entries in, then we will turn it around to a behavior goal. Well, you know, how about we work on being responsible and maybe working on this journal 10 minutes
every night. I love how you're tying it back to the three
tying back
rules.
The big three rules.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we tie everything to mm-hmm. the three rules.
Safe, responsible,
and
respectful.
Respectful. Mm-hmm. And then.
And how that works out in real
yes.
life.
And it goes into, when you take those three behavior goals, it goes into the academics.
It does. That's why I brought that up.
And
because
they really are married
tied.
Together.
Yep.
And it's exciting to see it. And children want to please you and they want to behave. They just need the skills and the practice sometimes. Not every child comes to you with those skills. So you have to give them opportunities to practice those skills.
Yeah.
Some kids struggle with problem solving. So take time out of class to give them some time to practice those problem solving skills. And then it will show up in the academics later.
Yeah, so what you mean by problem solving is maybe they're having trouble with other friends. Like they're not able to problem solve a conflict with another friend or something like that. So again, teaching them how to work through that so it will show up in the academics and it helps them socially.
And a lot of times if you have a child, which I'm, and this is all new to me too, because I've, you know, I'm starting, I always am trying to put pieces together. So if you have a child who is maybe struggling academically, maybe they're not getting their journal entries done or they're giving up on you and you think, okay, what are they really struggling with? Well, maybe they're struggling with problem solving skills and they can't identify it. Like they can't figure out, hey, I'm struggling with the writing component, but they can't portray it to you.
Yeah.
So they're struggling with the problem solving. How can I solve this problem of getting the journals down?
Yes.
Instead of coming to me and saying, sometimes if I just go to them and say, hey, what's going on? You know, how can I help you problem solve? Let's look at this problem together. You know, what can we do? It's amazing how it goes into the academics is what I'm trying to say at the fourth grade level.
So when you have those, because just as you're talking to me and I'm thinking about this, when you have those behavior conferences, we say how important those are because that special time you're setting aside for that student to talk about what they're struggling with.
Right.
So do you see that as a good forum to like delve into their problems with maybe getting their journal?
Yes.
It's a special time to talk about.
Yes. Sometimes children struggle with executive functioning skills. Okay. What can we do together as a team to solve? You know, first let's identify what's happening, what's the problem, and then what can we do to solve it together? You just assume that children can solve these problems on their own, but sometimes they just can't. Say, okay, well, why is this child not turning in their homework or their math homelink or whatever the academic grades, the upper grades? Well, what's the problem, you know, or what's happening? And so you just sit with them and then you realize that they maybe are just lacking some problem solving skills. Okay, how can we tackle this problem? Where can we squeeze this time in? Or what can we do to solve this? Maybe we can use bus time or, you know, problem solving skills goes into their social, goes into their academics.
Right.
It goes into so many parts in their lives. And some kids are just better at solving problems than other. You just think they do.
So this whole thing that we're talking about right now, for those listeners out there who don't know what we're talking about, is behavior conferences, special time, that part of our PBIS program that each teacher in the building sets aside. It's up to them how many times, but at least twice a month, where they meet with every student and talk about their own behavior skills and what they might need work on, what might need better, and going over their plan. So that relationship building piece is a big part of our PBIS here at school.
So when you're doing that, I imagine you have a time frame.
Yes.
You know, and so I guess I'm thinking some teachers out there might be thinking, I don't have time for this. Can you explain how you make time and how it works? What the kids
doing?
How do
you fit it in on a Friday afternoon?
You know, what are the other students doing? And do you try to limit to like 1 or 2 minutes per student? Although we know some students might take longer, other students won't.
And some students choose to continue with that same goal, and then we have to come at it a different way. If a child is choosing to be more responsible by keeping their cubby cleaned out or their desk cleaned out, which for some students is a big challenge them, you know, hey, this isn't working. What else can we do to try to solve this problem? So some students do need more time than others. They do.
So what are the rest of the students do when you're
sometimes
talking?
Sometimes I will have them do 40 book challenge or read a book quietly. Sometimes we'll put in a science movie or some kind of academic movie while I pull them over. Sometimes I'll use bus time.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll meet with them more than, if a child needs me more than just twice a month. Some kids, I have a couple friends, I probably do meet informally
more often
and say, hey, what can we do to help you with this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to help you. What can I do to help you?
Right. So not only do we do all of the teachers in the building hold behavior conferences, but the other part of that is then we hold class meetings.
Yes.
So yes. Some of this I'm sure that you talk about in your class meetings. So do you want to talk about your class meetings a little bit?
How are those structured and what do you, what do you use to do those?
With fourth grade, sometimes they pick the topic. Like, for example, one time they come in from recess all upset, you know, and they come in grumbling, complaining that the, you know, they were getting in trouble with the aides. There wasn't enough room for them to move, you know. And I said, okay, what can we do to solve this? Let's problem solve. Let's go. This is going to be the topic of our class meeting today. Let's be proactive, not reactive.
You so know, I actually got trying. A letter.
Yes, she did. And so I had one little
girl. A proposal.
Girl. She did. And it was so neat because they took what we were studying in social studies about making a petition. And one little girl come to school the next day with a petition. And we discussed.
That's on my desk that I just read again today.
And I so that particular class meeting was student led. At fourth grade, at the upper grades, you can allow them sometimes to decide the topic or decide what where we're gonna which direction we're gonna go. A lot of times, what's happening in the room or what's happening on the playground will dictate to me what needs done.
How long do you let your class meetings go?
Probably 20, 30 minutes mm-hmm. at the time, you know, whatever. So
usually
is
a 20
needed.
Minute meeting, 30 if 20 it
minute,
needs more.
20, yeah, mm-hmm. 20 to 30 minutes. If it gets passionate, like that one probably went 30 because they wanted to come in and grumble. And I said, now wait, you know, we're going to be proactive, not reactive. You know, I try to use that terminology and say, what can we do to solve it? We can't just grumble about it. What can we do to be proactive? And, you know, what are some ideas that we can solve this problem? And so yeah. a goal for me this year, it was so Mrs. Kiko had come to me earlier this year and she said, you know, Mrs. Myroff, I really, really feel like we need to teach the children to become problem solvers in every area of their life. And so I give Mrs. Kiko credit for this because she really made me think about that children, some children have natural problem solving skills. Some children need help with it. And so they come to me with this huge problem. Okay, how are we going to solve it, boys and girls? And what their ideas were incredible to me once they were done grumbling. And
but look what you're teaching them in these meetings.
And now I have to make an appearance to her classroom to acknowledge
that
I received the petition.
Well, we got 200 signatures.
But in that class meeting, not only are you solving the problem of the people that have the problem, but you're giving everyone else ideas for the time they might have that problem.
Yes.
So you're sharing ideas. They might not have that problem right now, but now they have a solution for when it happens to them the next time. Or they can give suggestions.
Exactly.
I mean, on how. Mm-hmm. And then that shows, you know, that their ideas are well
valuable.
Thought and valued. So, valued. I mean, class meetings are so important and have so much to them.
They do.
And you hold those twice a month at least?
Oh, probably more than that.
But you're trying for twice a month.
We're formally supposed to have them twice a month, but we probably have 4 or 5 or 6 because things situations come up and we just have to stop.
And for someone who taught fourth grade for 10 years, I understand that.
Sometimes you just have to stop what you're doing and just deal with it, you know?
But
and
you're teaching something.
You
have to realize that.
Because I tell these kids, listen, boys and girls, you're always going to be in situations that you have to learn how to problem solve, whether it's on the playground, in the classroom, with each other, with your social skills. You know, everybody has a valued voice. And when you set the tone for the class meetings, you know, you always talk about, you don't want to call them rules, but there are boundaries. Hey, everything we discuss in the room, you know, we keep here and we want to be honest with our feelings and we want to value everybody's input and we celebrate their differences, mm-hmm. you know, and children are very good about that. Children are, if you set those back, if they know you care about them, they will do anything for you.
Yeah. And you know, out there with these class meetings, even though we started this practice before COVID, I think it is so much more important even after COVID because children were isolated so much. They weren't around peers. And now they've come back in that school system. And sometimes those problem solving skills weren't there for a couple years. So all those teachers out there that say, I don't, like Carol just said, teachers may say, I don't have time for that. You don't have time not to have that.
You have to make time, and you have to give them time to practice that skill. You can't just expect them to be able to do it. Some kids are just innately have everything they need to be successful at school. Some kids don't. And so you have to give them that time to practice, and you have to set up activities in your room where they get to work together. And so I can't solve all their problems when they, if we're doing a big writing piece and I have three or four of them together in a group writing and they start to bicker, if I go up and I solve that problem, what did they learn? So then I might go up and guide them and say, okay, what can we do better? How can we solve this problem? You know, then they learn those valuable skills that they need to become adults and take to fifth grade. And
right. So we've talked about two things here. We've talked about the behavioral conferences one-on-one, and we've talked about the class meeting.
So, you know, acknowledgement system is so much more than a reward system.
It is.
As Diane had said early on, because as you've been talking for the last probably 20 minutes or so, you're acknowledging their feelings. Mm-hmm. You're acknowledging they're important. You're acknowledging that mm-hmm. each person has something good to say. You know, and so when we acknowledge all of those things, like you said, a child will do as much as they can for you. They want to please. They want to learn. So, you know, the acknowledgement system, I mean, it's great for the rewards, the bucks, and to eat with a friend and all
no
of that.
No shoes.
Sit in the teacher's chair.
All those little things.
And all of that. But mm-hmm. really, I think the most meaningful acknowledgement comes from when a teacher recognizes the value of the student.
They do. You know? And it's the relationship piece. Yes. For example, I had trouble with a little girl at the beginning of the year, and I moved her up by my desk. And just because I needed her close to me, just proximity. And then she was starting to learn some skills, and I felt like I could put her back in the group. And then later she came up and said, can I sit back up there by you? She wanted to be by me, that relationship piece. So everything comes back to the relationship with the child.
It really
does.
You
know, I think if you asked a fourth grader, they would say the relation piece with the teacher is more important to them than the actual physical rewards.
Yeah.
Pleasing and, that teacher is.
So older, middle school, high school teachers will say they don't have their kids as much, but you switch classes.
Yes, we do.
You're not self-contained.
No.
So
no.
You have quite a few students to,
yes.
to establish these relationships with.
Yes. 50.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's a job.
48.
So we are starting to run short on time. So I want to kind of just skip ahead just a little bit and ask you, what are the favorite parts of PBIS in our building?
Yeah. What's your favorite?
My favorite is the universal language. And when they come to me, everybody's on the same page. I remember 34 years ago when I subbed, and I would go into different classrooms and different grade levels.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. there wasn't anything universal. There was such differences between each teacher, each grade level, and it was so difficult. And to me, the kids were much more unruly. And so now we all speak the same language. We have the same expectations, whether they go to computer lab or to the library or to the, you know, to the cafeteria or to my room or to my co-teacher. We have the same expectations, and they get it.
Yes.
They understand it. They know what's expected of them. And to me, everything just runs more efficiently with the regular population of the school. To me, it does.
That is awesome, Carol, because we all were here at a time where it was very different. Each teacher was in mm-hmm. their own little pod and had their own little language as to what was their behavior system, what was this, what was that. They went to gym, music, or art. It was all different. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what was going on in the others. And that has all changed with PBIS.
Yes, and I remember teaching back there 34 years ago and subbing. And mm-hmm. trying to figure it all out myself. and you know, it was
truly
so funny because children will automatically try to push back then, you know, to the limits. And I remember just as a sub, it was difficult. Now as a sub, we have this universal language, universal expectations. And as an upper grade teacher, it's amazing because they come to me already with everything in place.
Yes.
And then I just throw the relationship piece in and show them I care about them. And these are my expectations. And if you're consistent, the groundwork's already laid for you. Christine Hunt and these first grade teachers have done that, you know? Yes. Yeah. And so, and then we just pick up the ball and keep walking. And
it's great. It's
really made things a lot easier for us.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Carol. And as Carol is one of our PBIS coaches, so she does work with our tier two and tier three situation. So we're going to have Carol back.
We will.
Whenever we start, because this is level one. We are really talking about tier one, but we're going to have you back, Carol, whenever we move on to tier two and tier three.
One more thing I could say?
You can. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Sign us out.
This is the difference too. Big difference, which is huge to me. Is years ago when you had a behavior problem in your room, you carried it alone with Mrs. Farrell.
Yes.
Now when you have a behavior problem in your room or a situation that's challenging for you, you don't want to think of a child having a behavior problem, but maybe a challenging situation, you have a team. You get to go to a team member and share that and say, hey, do you think you could help me out?
Yeah.
You know, I remember years ago, sometimes I would just feel so heavy because I was carrying and I didn't know what to do. And now I have this whole team of people, you know, and my colleagues, my fourth grade team can come to me. And I know last year there was a teacher that had a challenging situation. She said, you know, the best part of all of this is that I don't have to carry this alone.
I love that.
I think that's fabulous, Carol. Yeah, that is so, and she's so true.
Because Mrs. Oaks.
The one part of our system that is very powerful is that coaches at every grade level having a regulated system, a protocol of where to go, that teachers know that they have support and they have a system. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Carol. Our time is
drawing
up to a close.
We want to just remind you that we have an email, pbisjourneytogenius@gmail.com. So if you have questions, want to comment, you can shoot us an email. We're also on Facebook.
We're on Facebook and Instagram. So if you go to our website, PBIS Journey to Genius, anywhere on our podcast, you can find the links to our website and our Facebook so you can contact us through them. We'd love to answer any question you might have, hook you up, do anything you need. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Diane Farrell.
And I'm Diane Ruff. And you've been listening to Episode 10, Tier 1 Acknowledgement System for Older Elementary Students on
PBIS Journey to Genius.